florist that this was printed on?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Habitat Committee met last week, June 6th and 7th, in Mansfield, and spent most of its time discussing the omnibus habitat amendment and further development of alternatives to be included in the public document for that amendment. There are several documents that I want to make sure that all the council members have in front of them that we'll be referring to as we go through the actions that the committee took under tab 7, which is where all the habitat material is. Document 2 is the habitat amendment timeline, which I'll just refer to briefly. There were three documents that were handed out today. Document 3 is a draft meeting summary from last week's two-day meeting. Document 12, also handed out today, includes the committee recommendations on alternatives to be included in the amendment document. And document 13 includes new and modified maps, as well as some list of some maps that should be deleted from the main large document, which is what dominates your tab 7. So I hope everybody has all of those. Most of the documents that at least I'm finding most helpful are those that were handed out today in summary of the meeting that took place last week. One thing on document number 3, which is the meeting summary, I just wanted to point out that the entire committee was present. David Gaethel was there, vice chair of the committee, and as usual was extremely helpful in helping us get through the series of motions that are summarized in that document. In addition to the motions that dominate this document on the habitat amendment, there were a couple other items that the committee discussed. One was we had a briefing from the advisory panel, which met on May 9th. And the advisory panel, I believe the chair of the advisory panel is here, Dave Wallace, if there are any questions for Dave. But we heard from the advisory panel, which mostly was working on continued development of gear descriptions for the habitat amendment and some input that the committee asked for on one particular HAPC proposal that the committee had asked them to review. I'm not going to go into detail here because the committee hasn't made recommendations yet on all of the all of the HAPC proposals, but that was what we heard from for the AP, so we'll defer discussion on that probably until the September Council meeting. The second thing that we talked about before we get into the heart of this is we had a briefing on several non-fishing impact projects, and the one that the council or the committee took action on, but there's no action needed on the part of the council, is just in continued follow-up to the beach project at Winthrop Beach. And the committee, you can see motion 1 on page 2 of document 3. The committee requested that staff draft a letter to the Army Corps in strong opposition to the Winthrop Beach project and potential for fishing impacts for council consideration. We don't have that yet, but that will be something that will be shared with the council once that letter is written. We heard some updates on one other beach project on Nantucket, Cape Wind, and several energy projects. I'll just pause there. I don't know if there were any questions about any of those before we get into the habitat amendment.
Paul? Sally, it says here that Cape Wind project is under MMS. I thought it was Coast Guard, or is the LNG stuff under the Coast Guard?
The Cape Wind project, they changed the jurisdiction of the Cape Wind project think it was at least 6 months ago, something like that. It was Army Corps of Engineers, and then they changed it. So this is going to extend the time frame for development of the EIS since it's a new agency that's in charge of it.
Okay, go ahead. Any other questions? Go ahead.
So I'll go ahead and get into the discussion of the Omnibus Habitat Amendment. And the first thing I'd just ask people to take a look at is the timeline, which is document number 2 under tab 7. And just real quickly, just to orient people to where we are, if you turn to page 6, you'll see the meeting, today's meeting is featured on there. What we're doing today, hopefully, is to approve for inclusion in the draft EIS a range of EFH designation alternatives. So we're not selecting any final alternatives. This is a discussion of the full range, which is why you have such a large document in front of you, because we have the full range here. The committee did discuss under the second column at the bottom of page 6 potential for approval of a prey species document that's required to be a part of this amendment, but there was discussion of this at the committee meeting, and the decision was made based on input from the PDT, especially that just wasn't quite ready for prime time, so the committee will be considering that probably at its next meeting, and hopefully that will be something that the council considers at its September meeting.
Sally, I think you said that was document number 2. It's document number 1. So I have it labeled as number 1.
Okay. I might be drawing on my documents from the committee, but it's a table that's the timeline.
I have that as document number 1, so I think that's what everybody else probably has, because there's no page 6 in number 2.
Okay. So. Thanks. All right. Document number 1. My apologies.
Okay.
Page 6 at the bottom. That's where we are. So I just wanted to make sure everybody understood where we were well more than knee-deep into this process. And I don't know if there are any questions on timing or timeline. Let's see here. So, again, the focus of the meeting that we had last week was a 2-day meeting, and it was mostly to review the document that's going to go out for public comment that includes the range of alternatives for the new EFH designations. So we're not today talking about recommendations for final decisions. It's a range of alternatives that is in front of us today. And on a number of the species that were discussed, the committee did have preferred alternatives that it's recommending to the council to consider. The council or the committee considered alternatives for each species and life stage where that was appropriate. So egg, larvae, juvenile, and adult life stages for all species for which that's appropriate. Obviously, for some species, egg and larval stages don't make sense, so that wasn't something we considered. The committee made recommendations for preferred alternatives or a range of alternatives for 25 of the 27 managed species and their various life stages, and decided to send one species back for the PDT to consider, and that is red crab, which needed some more work on the off-shelf data that the data just simply wasn't available soon enough for the PDT to be able to make recommendations. So the committee decided to send that back and consider that at its next meeting. Atlantic salmon was the other species that was not considered, and that's being developed separately. I'm going to do my best to describe the 4 different alternatives and ask both Leslie Ann and Dave Stevenson to chime in so that this stays as clear as possible for people. There, in the main document, in your binder, which in my binder it wasn't numbered. Is it numbered in yours? The main document has four different alternatives for the
Excuse
most part.
That's document 8, just to let you know.
Document 8?
Yep.
Document 8, thanks. That's the big one. And the methodologies that were used to develop these alternatives have, you'll remember the past couple of council meetings, we've had presentations on how the methodologies were developed based on the peer-reviewed the peer review process that took place a year ago to analyze and take a look at all the different methodologies that are possible for developing habitat designations. There is a document, 5C, I believe it is, or 5. Document 5B, just if you need a refresher on the presentations that Leslie Ann has done in the past couple of council meetings, it's document 5B, Appendix A, methods describe how those four alternatives were developed.
Excuse me, Sally. But I think you're working off of your committee document numbers. You should look on the status sheet. It's actually document 9.
Thank you. Document 9. I'm going to let Leslie Ann tell you what document number it is so that I don't send people off on a wild goose chase. Document 9 includes a description of the methodology used for all of the alternatives, the four alternatives. Alternative number 1 is considered the status quo, and that is existing essential fish habitat designations, which were established in 1998. And I'll just point out that John Nelson was chair of the Habitat Committee at that time, so he can help with our institutional memory on that one. Alternative 2 is known as the abundance-only alternative, and it takes the existing EFH designation methodology but adds new data, additional data, including state data, and the new range of CPUE, which the committee and council approved, that being 25%, 50%, 75%, and 90% of CPUE. So when appropriate, when there's an alternative 2 that's been developed, there'll be four alternatives at those different percentage levels of CPUE.
Are you done explaining alternative 2? I just wanted to add to it if you were. Okay. It also includes a slightly new way of treating the data, the survey data, and it also includes a comprehensive set of data from each and every state and all of their state surveys in it as well.
Alternative 3 is the new EFH designation methodology, which the peer review group from last summer recommended and the PDT has implemented, and it includes, in addition to the data sources that are listed in Document 9 and what Leslie Ann just described, it includes consideration of three habitat variables as well, bottom temperature, salinity, and depth.
Sorry, not salinity, sediment.
Not salinity, sediment. And again, that was based on the peer review of the habitat designation methodologies. Did you have anything you wanted to add? No. Okay. David, did you? No. Okay. The last alternative, alternative 4, is the broadest alternative, geographically, and it represents the full species range. So 100% CPUE from the NIMFS trawl survey.
Plus the state data, plus off-shelf data.
And then lastly, there were a few alternatives that needed special consideration, and those, I'm going to need some help finding where those are referenced. There were a few species that needed special consideration that for which the PDT developed a separate alternative. You know what I'm talking about? At the back of document 9, you'll see the very last page, section 5, special exceptions, and there's a list of those species. So with the, well, before I go on, I just want to make sure that I've characterized this correctly and that everyone understands what the alternatives are, because there are those four alternatives. I'm going to have a little more discussion about what the committee did in response to the alternatives that were presented, but I want to make sure that I've given a fair explanation of what our starting point was at the beginning of the meeting last week.
Okay, everybody following? Okay, continue. Go ahead.
Sorry, I don't have any disagreement with the way Sally explained it. It's the easiest explanation that we could give in a nutshell. I just did want to point out to you that the larger document 8 that you have in your binder is actually the document that went to the committee last week. So there's have been no changes made to this big document since the committee meeting. So it's the same exact document that the committee got to see. And I just wanted to point out that if you're looking at each alternative, there are 26 species included in this big document. The committee's pulled out red crab, so now there's 25. But they're listed here alphabetically. So the species is listed alphabetically under alternatives 1, 2, 3, and 4. That's just the order for which they're in. And also in document 13, which is EFH designation alternatives, corrections, and addendums. Obviously, when you create an 800 and something page document or whatever with 562 maps, you're going to run into a few errors when you get to the committee. And there have been in this document 13, is it okay if I go through this, Sally, real quick? There were some maps that needed to be removed, meaning that we created them inadvertently and put them in the document. They're listed in document 13. There are a couple corrections that we found along the way, which are listed in document 13. There are four maps in the larger document that were the wrong maps, so we replaced them with the correct maps, and those are listed here. And then there is a series of new alternatives that the committee created, based largely on the methods that the PDT used, but filling in some areas, which Sally will talk about. And the new alternative maps are in document 13 as well.
Leslie Ann, I'm having a hard time hearing you, so I'm...
She said she couldn't hear you.
Oh, should I start all over?
No.
Go ahead.
Okay. During the committee meeting last week, the committee considered PDT recommendations, reviewed the text descriptions in the document, which everyone should note are, in fact, the legal definition of essential fish habitat. Recommended changes to the text descriptions and also looked at the maps, which make up the bulk of the big document. And as Leslie Ann alluded to in this document 13, when the committee found an alternative that was close but not quite what the committee wanted to recommend as a preferred alternative, in many cases the committee would take that map and go through it and say these areas should be included in the EFH designation. So that's why in many cases in this document 13 there are additions to the main document. We had a total of 43 motions. 40 of them were unanimous. One of them, we had one abstention. One where we didn't have unanimity was American Place, and the committee member who voted against that can speak for himself, but American Place was the first one on the list, so we were kind of getting up to speed and figuring out where the consensus on the committee was. Witch flounder and winter flounder were also two species where we had some extensive discussion on. We had extensive discussion on most of the species, but for the most part, 40 out of 43 motions were unanimous. And the final umbrella motion that recommends the full range of alternatives that's represented in this document as amended by the actions taken by the council, as well as several preferred alternatives, did pass unanimously. I'll just pause there and see if there are any questions now before I offer that motion.
Okay. Anybody? Paul?
Sally, under the special exceptions, it says for barn doors gate and for rosettes gate, because there's very little adult catch, you use as a proxy juvenile catch. So what you're saying is if there's juveniles there, there's probably adults, but you don't have any information. So it's a, and the alternative would be not to have any info to protect large skate, so using a proxy.
Right.
Now, how do these special exceptions apply to the four different alternatives? Are those exceptions included in every alternative for the skates?
You were looking at barn door escape, for example. Let's see, due to low catch rates for adult juveniles.
So there's no information on the catch of adults, so you're using wherever the juveniles are caught as a proxy for where the adults are. But that's in all the alternatives or just in four?
No, my recollection, I'd have to flip back through, was that it was in alternatives 2 through 4, and then alternative 1 is the status quo.
Okay.
Any other questions?
What's that?
Any other questions? Dave?
Just a clarification. I may have missed it. In the supplementary material that was handed out, for example, the number 13, when we talk about corrections and addendums, any alternative that is labeled with an E would represent another suggestion offered up by the committee, by the plan development team.
Any alternative E was something that, like what I just described, where the committee felt like there was something that was an alternative that was close but not quite. So the committee took the, the committee took whatever was closest. For example, let's say Map 11, Alternative 3E4, Adult Haddock. We started with Alternative 3D and then modified it. So Leslie Ann and Tyler went back and developed with the committee's very specific recommendations on areas to include in a new alternative. So that was not a recommendation that was a recommendation of the committee.
Okay, recommendation of the committee. But for the benefit of the council, just to see how much of a difference there might be between some of these alternatives, such as the D and the E, you could take a look at the species that concerns me the most. Atlantic cod juveniles, that's on page 536 of the large document. So if you look at that particular figure, map 401, and you compare it with this new committee alternative of 3E, which is map 5, found in the document number 13, you can see that what appears to have happened, and I'm just guessing here, and I can be corrected if I'm not stating this correctly. It appears that these two maps are almost identical with some very small differences, very subtle differences. It appears that some small squares were blackened in because it wouldn't make sense to leave them white. For example, the one off of New Hampshire, the great state of New Hampshire, there's a big white spot there. And on 3D, one would think that should be a solid spot for good habitat for juvenile codfish. And then there are a couple of other very subtle corrections. So I'm going to assume that for all of the different species and life stages, the difference between D and E is likely to be very subtle, but important in the eyes of the committee. Okay.
Yeah, David's correct. What the committee did is it used its discretion. Most of the points where there's a hole like that is because it's a block that's hard to survey or impossible to survey. So what the committee did is use its local knowledge of the area to fill in those blocks. you know, based on, like you said, obviously, you know, we know there's cod there, but it's all hard bottom. There's no way to survey it, so we'd fill it in, and that's where you see a lot of these perfected charts are cases where a block usually was left out because of lack of survey information, and then we use the committee's local knowledge of that area to reinstate those blocks.
John?
Just picking up on where the two charts that Dr. Pierce was referencing, how do you go from 3D to 3E and end up losing chunks of designation? I mean, Dr. Pierce talked about shading in blocks that are surrounded by, but if you look at 3E in map 6, you lose a lot of area designated below the Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket. Oh, no, sorry. Mixing up adults and juveniles.
Yeah.
I'll take it back.
Okay.
We only have 700 charts in front of us.
You'll be questioned on them later. Ellie?
Yeah, to David Pierce's point, you know, it took the PDT quite a while to get through all these species, and we started noticing some of these things as well. We started noticing that certain blocks just weren't showing up. And what we decided to do was to base all of our recommendations on the analytical approach that we use for developing, say, alternative 3, and not to ourselves fill in blocks, but point these ones out to the committee that they might want to consider filling in, and then other areas that obviously we didn't consider that they wanted to consider. We wanted to keep our work to be scientific and technical and leave the policy and the local knowledge to the committee. So that's why a lot of times you see an extra alternative that the committee created, which is based largely on the PDT analysis, but adds some areas that they thought were appropriate. Specifically, in some cases, like we weren't able to use the Rhode Island trawl survey because of lack of correlation between the station and the latitude and longitude. But, for instance, a lot of people know that there's certain things there that we couldn't quantify based on our data, similar off of New Hampshire as well. So the explanation that Sally and David gave you is right on.
Just one other thing I'll point out in the document 13, corrections and addendum document. So we just talked about alternatives that had an E associated with them. There are a few that you'll see that are alternative 5 and in one case an alternative 6. And those were also developed through a recommendation of the committee, but based significantly enough on a different kind of something that strayed far enough from the analytical approach that the PDT developed that it warranted its own separate designation. For example, winter flounder, maps 16 and 17, for eggs and larvae, we developed two additional alternatives there that are numbered 5 and 6. So those were just different enough from the existing or from the analytical approach that was represented in any of the four base alternatives that they needed its own separate category. So if there are other questions, I'd be happy to answer them, or I'm prepared to offer a motion.
Looks like we're ready for the motion.
I'd move on behalf of the committee to recommend to the council the EFH designation alternative document as amended by the committee, and included in this are the preferred alternative recommendations from the committee. And this passed unanimously at the committee.
Okay, we have for a second. Doesn't need a second because it's a committee motion. It was unanimous. Okay, discussion on the motion. Okay, anybody in the audience? All right, back to the council. Are we ready for the question? All those in favor, please raise their hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 16. I think it's unanimous. Opposed? Abstention? Unanimous. Keep it going, Sally.
I think that's all I have.
Oh, sorry, Sally.
Sally?
We have the, just to note that on the council agenda was to review and approve the prey species document, but you just need to cover that as a topic because we're not going to review and approve it today.
Okay, I mentioned that, but I didn't think that was a motion that we had to consider here. Just to reiterate, the committee did have on its agenda last week and on the council agenda today to discuss information on prey species as it would be included in the document here and as a separate standalone document just describing prey species as habitat. And that document, after discussion with members of the PDT who participated in the meeting, needed some more work, and so they're going to do that and then bring it back to the committee sometime, hopefully before the next council meeting. And with that, Mr. Chairman, the umbrella amendment that just passed, or motion that just passed, included all of the preceding motions that pertain to preferred alternatives and otherwise related to the habitat amendment. So we don't need to consider those motions.
I was wondering at this point if you could give the council in layman's terms just an idea of when we will do the HAPC designations. And then when do we vote on the preferred alternative for them to start to develop phase two, the measures? Just so we have an idea of when that's going to happen.
We're just about to round out phase one here. We're going to, at the September council meeting, we'll bring forward a range of HAPC designations to you for consideration and approval for public comment, as well as the deep-sea red crab EFH alternatives, the Atlantic salmon EFH alternatives, the prey species document, the non-fishing impacts section, research and information needs section. And all that will be wrapped, approved in September, hopefully, wrapped into a phase one EIS, which will come back to you in November for approval. And we'll go to public comment, meeting likely probably at this council and at Mid-Atlantic Council, and we'll have Gene, I believe it's a 45-day comment period, and we'll move into phase two at the end of the year. That answer your question?
For the phase one, do you envision going out to a public hearing like we normally do, or waiting till phase two to package it all together for several public hearings?
I think the way that, you know, this whole phase one, phase two concept is a new concept. And I think the way we worked it out is that we will have a formal public comment period. I believe it's a 45-day formal public comment period. And we won't do traditional public hearings, but instead we'll have a public hearing section at a council meeting, at our council meeting, and a public hearing section at the Mid-Atlantic Council meeting, hopefully, and that'll be our public hearing points during that 45-day comment period.
Okay, anything else?
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, that's it on habitat. We made up some time. Paul?
Okay. And then when does the council vote? At what council meeting will the council vote on the preferred alternative?
I didn't look at the 2006 meeting schedule, but I think if it's a January meeting, I think at the January meeting you'll make final decisions on EFH designations, HAPC designations, and the other minor little things, and then we'll move directly into phase two. Hopefully we'll actually have phase two kind of started to be rolling during that comment period, depending on the workload.
Okay, Jim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a committee member for the Habitat Committee, and especially being new this year, I have to take this opportunity to congratulate the staff on the job that they did in this, in bringing both me up to speed, but also in the way they provided the information to the committee, and especially with the, I don't know what you even call it, but the MAP GIS program made it possible for the committee to work extremely well together to solve the problems. And then lastly, I think Sally should be commended on doing a great job in keeping this organized and keeping us right to the task to get through something like this document that we had before us at the committee, and then to bring it here and have it handled this expeditiously, I think deserves commendation. Thank you.
I'm sure the staff appreciates that. Thank you. Anything else? Okay, we're going to take a short break here, and I'd like the staff and anybody who's executive committee to come up. We're going to have to try and figure out what we can move up under the agenda for today. Yes, we're way up, so hopefully we can see where we can come up with something for this afternoon. So, what we're going to do for this afternoon,